Good morning.
Good morning.
We say with the psalmist, rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Great to worship with you here in person and also online. If you're not able to make it in person, glad you're able to join us online. Are you a fan of weeds, especially in your lawn or in your garden? Weed control is a process. It's not really a one-and-done treatment. Are you a fan of weeds in your heart? They are there in all of ours. So what is the treatment? The Lord reminds us and refreshes us once again today of his answer. So we pray for God's blessing as we get into that answer through his word. I invite your attention now to the invocation on page 3 of our service bulletin. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his love endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let us worship him.
Please stand. What does God tell us about ourselves in his holy word? When we realize we have sinned against God and deserve his punishment, what should we do?
We will confess before God.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts,
Jesus says to his people, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?"
Yes, I believe.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Grant us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do what is right, that we, who cannot do anything that is good without you, may, by your help, be enabled to live according to your will.
Our first reading for today comes from Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 11. God gives a straightforward warning to those who come up with their own gods. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people. And what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are what my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. All who make idols are nothing, and the things they treasure are worthless. Those who would speak up for them are blind. They are ignorant to their own shame. Who shapes a god and casts an idol which can profit nothing? People who do that will be put to shame. Such craftsmen are only human beings. Let them all come together and take their stand. They will be brought down to terror and shame. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is from Romans 1, verses 18 to 25. We as a society reap what we sow. We know better, and yet it is evident which way more people lean. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out.
Who rests on the mind of the Lord, or who rests in his counsel?
Who has ever given to God, that God should repay him? Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel text this morning comes from Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. As long as this world exists, there will be believers and unbelievers side by side. Let us be an influence on the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and also through our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus back on the words of the Gospel of Matthew, hearing once again this. Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them up in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, again, if you were given the option to plant weeds in your yard, and if you don't have a yard, imagine for a moment that you do, would you do it? And if you would do it, what weed would you pick? And the one you may be thinking of is not an option. And why did you pick the one that you did? There are some resources that are in favor of allowing weeds to grow in your yard, indicating the fact that they can help provide nutrients to the topsoil as those weeds decay. However, there are other resources that indicate it is good to not have the weeds grow in your yard, as they can rob the grass, for example, of the nutrients the grass needs for it to take root and flourish. Well, the point of those questions, and especially of the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before us today, demonstrates how similar life is for us every day here on this earth. Weeds are everywhere, aren't they? Some deceptive in their appearance, yet robbing grass or plants, in this case us, of their or our needed nutrients. Jesus, the visual teacher that he is, has another very important life lesson for us, which we're not surprised at, having to do with the weeds and the wheat growing in the field. There is a method to his teaching, and again, something that ought not take us by surprise. In a nutshell, his method passed on to us today is simply this: remain patient and steadfast. Dear friends, remain patient and steadfast while God does his work among us. And at the same time, remaining patient and steadfast, aware and alert to the challenges among us. Patient and steadfast. Two very important things for us to practice in this life ongoing. Patient and steadfast while God does his work among us. And what is his work among us? His work among us is growing his kingdom, establishing and nurturing his rule in the hearts of people like you and me. And how does he do that? Through his means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. Some people are unimpressed by the means of grace, but their impression doesn't null and void the power and the impact of the means of grace. Take your own life, for example. How God has brought you to himself, given you life through his gospel in the word and the sacrament of holy baptism. And how important it is that God is the one who makes the connection, because God takes us who are dead by nature, spiritually dead, and makes us alive. He is the one who connects us to himself. We do not connect ourselves to him. And so give thanks that God does his work among us, turning death to life through his means of grace. And as he does his work among us through the means of grace, establishing his rule in our hearts and nurturing that rule through those same means of grace, at the heart of that ruling activity, at the heart of the gospel that he uses, is a message we have come to treasure. And a message we want to remain steadfast to all the days of our life. That gospel message, the good news of a crucified and risen Savior. And how important it is to have this good news in our life. To have this Savior on our behalf. Because our life is filled with weeds. From our heart, by nature, comes all kinds of weeds. Thoughts and temptations which we give into. Actions that we hopefully have come to regret. Maybe we've been able to make amends for some of those actions. At least to come to peace with God and ourselves. And the heart of that peace ability is the good news of the gospel, Jesus Christ. Because again, think of some of the weeds that we are guilty of ourselves planting and acting on. The disdain we have for certain people. And how that disdain then turns into words and actions of hatred. I mean, people at work who intentionally try to make the other person look bad to advance themselves. Or the gossip mill that takes place, thinking others won't get hurt by the gossip, and yet what is the whole point of gossip in the first place? But to hurt someone. And how many weeds of hurt have we sown in the minds and lives of others about one of their co-workers? And what does the co-worker then think of us as we're ripping on another co-worker? Are they going to rip on me too? Or can I really trust this person? And there are other weeds out there as well. Adultery. How many sins of fornication do we think of in our mind and people have acted on? The overindulgence of alcohol and then try to justify it. I mean, the list of weeds goes on and on that we are guilty of committing and planting, not only in our own mind and heart, but also in the lives of others, misleading and leading them astray. For all those weeds that we are guilty of planting and committing, give thanks for the cross. Give thanks for the cross of Jesus by which he atoned for each and every one of our sins in thought, word, and deed. Not so that we can continue to plant the weeds of sin, but so that we could be free of the guilt that has come with them and have the proper motive to not give in to the weeds, but rather produce good fruit. Give thanks for the fact that we have God's forgiveness. And so at the heart of that gospel is a very important message. Sins forgiven. Not by anything that you and I have done or could do, but all by what God has done out of love for us, evident in the gift of his one and only Son who went to the cross on our behalf and won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. So remain patient and steadfast while God does his work among us, not just bringing you into a relationship with him, but his desire to bring others into a relationship with him. And who does he use to help bring others into a relationship with him? You and me, right? Individually and collectively. I mean, individually, we are to always be on the lookout for opportunities to share the gospel with people. Do you know people who are struggling with weeds in their life? The weeds are entangling their life mentally, physically, spiritually, above all. Are we looking for opportunities to share law and gospel with them? Don't underestimate the power of the word either. As we deal with people, friend or not so much a friend with, as we look to share the good news of Jesus with people, now let's not underestimate the power of God, writing people off, thinking God's word can never take root in that person. We've learned from history how his word overcomes. Look in the mirror again, right? Who of us can cast the first stone thinking that we are better soil for God to plant his seed in? We're all dead as a doornail by nature, undeserving of God's goodness and grace in our life. And so let us not underestimate the power of the word and God's goodness and desire to bring all people to a knowledge of the truth so that they can be saved. And while we are on the lookout individually to share the gospel with people collectively too, we're always on the lookout for opportunities. And sometimes the opportunities come to us where we're not even expecting them or looking for them. I mean, God has blessed our church body with so many opportunities that we did not generate, but that he has brought to our door and thus then given us the means to meet those opportunities. And even though there are still plenty more that we're not aware of or not meeting yet. And that's where our congregation mission offerings come in. Not underestimating the power of the gospel as the seed is cast out and about the United States and throughout the world. I mean, just recently, right, our church body was able to celebrate with our church in Vietnam the graduation of 55 men willing to serve God full time. Something we would not have envisioned years ago, but how the Lord works. And they have more graduates in the pipeline. What a blessing. What a blessing to watch those Wells connections and get connected to the work that we support, to see that those mission dollars that we put into the plate, whether it be a box or automatic giving or whatever means you choose to give, that those are not just dollars, but those are ministry gifts being put to work. Be patient and remain steadfast as God does his work among us, in us, and through us. Thankfully, his gospel is working in us. And so as we are striving to be witnesses individually and collectively, one of the ways that we can witness is just by being the salt and light that he's called us to be. To recognize that we are in the world, but not to be of the world. You know, while some of us would like everything to just to be black and white, sometimes there is gray. And through that gray, we have an opportunity to witness, to lead people away from their way of thinking toward God's way of thinking. How important it is for us that when we have the opportunity to be salt and light by putting his commandments into practice. I mean, his commandments, by putting them into practice, is a way for us to show love to God and actually love to our neighbor. By not biting on the gossip. By befriending others. Helping them protect reputation and property. Showing respect to our leaders, whether they be in the church or outside the church. When we have an opportunity to be salt and light, even if we disagree with our leaders, we still have the obligation to show respect, to be salt and light, because people are watching. To be salt and light, holding on to his teachings. That's not always an easy thing to do, especially with family members who may disagree with you on God's word. Especially when it comes to creation, matters of sexuality, discipline, Some people disagree that there should be discipline in the church. Remain patient and steadfast as we continue to be salt and light that God has called us to be, and hold steadfast to God's teaching on creation and sexuality and discipline and so forth. Let us also be salt and light, continually growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, setting the example. If we cannot be here in person to build up one another here in church, that we are at least online building up one another, the church that way too. Setting an example of this is a priority, third commandment. Because if we're not taking the time to be in church or be online or be in the Word somehow, what are we telling God? You're not a priority. But when I need you, God, you better be there. Thankfully, God remains patient and steadfast with us. God, help us be patient and steadfast while He does His work among us. Because what does God recognize is going on, and then He wants us to recognize too? There are challenges among us. And at the heart of those challenges is Satan himself. The liar, the father of lies, who wasn't created to be a liar, but rebelled against God, his creator, and since that time has become the father of lies, deceptive. He's very good at planting doubts in the hearts and minds of people, isn't he? He knows your weak points. He knows where you may be doubting. Maybe you're going through a physical challenge or a mental challenge or a spiritual challenge. He knows that, and he says what? If God really loves you, why is he allowing you to go through this? Isn't he all powerful? Can't he just snap his fingers and it all goes away? If he really, I love you, I would not have you go through that. He's very good, isn't he? Because how many people do you know have had those doubts get into their mind and in their heart and have fallen away from God? They have not remained patient and steadfast, and are very open in their disdain for God, because God did not snap their fingers when they wanted him to. And who does Satan use to also help create doubts in the minds and hearts of us and other people? The ungodly. Those who are not connected to God through faith in Jesus, who are under Satan's influence with their faulty logic, trying to redefine love. Love is just anything goes. If you really want to be free, well, just let anything go. And that doesn't work. But some have become so ingrained in their faulty logic that they cannot see otherwise. And some, again, under Satan's influence, are very vocal in their attempts to hinder the work of the church. Some of the laws that have been passed or are working to be passed or have even come to the floor for discussion, their very intent is to keep the gospel from being preached, at least what they think can keep the gospel from being preached. So the Lord reminds us, be aware that while we are in this world, there are serious challenges to our faith and our life and to our witnessing efforts individually and collectively. But we also have evidence that God has overcome and continues to overcome and work through those challenges. So we are to be aware of Satan and his schemes, as well as the schemes of the ungodly among us and how subtle they can be. You know, when you watch TV or movies, I mean, how it's changed pretty quickly. I've even noticed, not that I watch a lot, but some shows, you go from season one to season two or three, and season one and season two maybe were a little, and season three all of a sudden is like, wow, the language and the sexuality. It's like it's an intent. And it's not just that show. Then you watch other shows. Again, just to get an idea of what people are watching and listening, there's a nice influence going into our hearts and in our minds. And pretty soon, believers are using those words. be aware and alert to the challenges and the work of the ungodly among us. This calls for action on our part. To stay nurtured ourselves while also nurturing those around us, to have those speak the truth in love conversations about that show or this show, to know what's going on. Again, we're not to have our heads in the sand, but to be aware of what's going on so that we can speak, hopefully intelligently, about what is going on and using the Word of God as our guide. I mean, the purpose of Weed Killer is what? To eradicate the weeds so that the good can grow. Well, the purpose then of law and gospel preaching, right, is so the law can eradicate the weeds, and with the gospel then, good can grow. You and I are to use law and gospel to kill the weeds and to allow the good to grow, to stay the course, to not write off people as long as there is breath in them. So for those who have fallen away, who are not connected yet to Jesus, God, open our eyes to ways to help connect them and re-engage them. To point out how the weeds have taken over their heart and their life. While at the same time realizing those weeds, they're pretty powerful. It's not that the gospel is not powerful, but people can reject your attempt to reach out to them and encourage them and help them. And those weeds will dig in. So God, help us remain patient and steadfast. Realizing that judgment is coming. And at that time, he will separate the weeds from the wheat. But in the meantime, we have the opportunity, not looking at the hearts of people, to not write them off, but rather to encourage them and nurture them with God's means of grace. And let us not mistake God's silence as not caring or not involved or engaged, for he is. For sometimes he allows something to happen as a judgment. His word does not return to him empty. But never forgetting his goal, that people come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. So, dear friends, remember why God has put us here where he has. To build up one another in our relationship with him and to lead others to confess him as their Lord and Savior. With that in mind, God, help us then remain patient and steadfast. Patient in dealing with those around us while not abandoning the one thing needful. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We turn to a confession of faith based on the Apostles' Creed. It begins on the bottom of page 7. We join together.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord.
He has redeemed us, lost and condemned creatures, purchased and won us from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death.
All this he did, that I should be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death, and lives and rules eternally.
This is
most certainly true. Please be seated. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Let the love of Christ fill your church, so that it may flourish in all good works. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith, so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. As blessed, may we give you of our best, and by deeds of kindly love for your mercies grateful prove, singing thus through all our days praise to you, immortal praise. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, we thank you. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. Thank you also for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen. We also
pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Just a note, before the closing hymn, we'll have the installation of our church officers. We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, relearn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. May those officers please come forward.
Brothers in Christ, you have been elected and appointed in a regular meeting of this congregation, St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran
Church, to represent this congregation in an official capacity. As such, you are to be associated with the appointed minister of the word in the work of building up the kingdom of God among us. You are to see that the services of God's house be held regularly and conducted decently and in order, that the gospel be preached in its purity in accordance with the sound Lutheran faith, that the necessary provisions be made for the instruction of the young, and that Christian discipline be maintained. You are to administer the temporal affairs of this congregation, keep its property in good repair, and oversee the providing for the called workers' support and for all other necessary expenses. You are to assist the pastor in the care of the sick and the needy, in the cultivation of peace, harmony, and love among the members, in the promotion of the general welfare of the congregation, and in the furtherance of Christ's kingdom at home and abroad. You are also as servants of Christ and officers of his church to set your own households and the whole congregation the example of a devout Christian life. In order then that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I ask in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully perform the duties of your office in conformity with the ordinances of God, the confessions of our church, and the constitution of this congregation, according to the ability which God gives, then answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Please now turn and face the congregation, introduce yourself and your role.
Michael Rostad, Board of Elders.
Dan Cummins, Treasurer.
James Ripley, Recording Secretary.
Mike Roush, President.
Jim Oswald, Outreach.
Greg Meyer, Worship Chairman.
Chuck Klinker, who is not able to be here,
serves as the Board of Stewardship. Justin Lewis serves as the Chairman of the Board of Child Discipleship. Please turn back. Whereas you have made this solemn promise, I herewith commit to you the exercise of this office to which you have been elected or appointed. I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the name of the Church of which he is the head, that you give all diligence to perform your manifold duties with untiring faithfulness and constant concern, as you will desire to have done when you shall be called to give an account of your stewardship. Make the word of God your guide and search it daily for instruction, and to that end that your ministrations may serve for the glory of God, the best interests of the congregation, and your own great joy. May God, without whom we can do nothing, plentifully endow you with his grace, and bless abundantly all your faithful labors. We pray. Most merciful and gracious God, who is an ever-present witness of all our promises and vows, we ask you for Jesus Christ's sake, send down your Holy Spirit upon these your servants, that they may discharge their duties with diligence, steadfastness, boldness, and wisdom. Grant them in particular the spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need they may be, by prayer and supplication, make the requests for the church known to you, and in this house lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Enable them in all things to show themselves patterns of good works, that by their lives they may edify your congregation, and that the enemies of your church may find no ground for complaint. Set them for a blessing to your believers. Keep them in sincere harmony with their pastor, and grant that also by their service the unity of this congregation may be strengthened, that your name may be kept holy, your kingdom enlarged, and your will done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Go then, dear brothers, as you have been called, be steadfast and unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Thank you. We'll continue with our closing hymn. Morning again. Just a reminder, Gospel of Matthew taking place here in the church sanctuary at 9:30. Coffee and treats are available there in the lobby. If you'd like to start with the Sunday school and sing some songs from 9:15 to 9:30, you're welcome to go into the chapel and join them in the singing of those songs. We thank Vinny Rowe for serving as our reader this morning. He is in the pastor track looking to be a pastor, so thank you. Prayers with you. Continue to encourage him and others that you know who are looking to be called workers. As you know, the need is great as the harvest remains plentiful. There are definitely more opportunities than we can field at this time. But again, our God, nothing is impossible. So we pray and let him do his work. God help you enjoy your week, whatever that may bring for you. To him be the glory. His mercies remain new, fresh, each and every day. Thank you. Thank you.